Within the last 2 weeks, we have been discussing about the four guardian meditations, touching on the essential points. Although there's much to talk about this subject, and we almost came to an end yesterday. The four guardian meditations are Buddha Nusati, recollection of the Buddha's, the recollection of the Buddha, or remembering Buddha's qualities. Metta Bhavana, cultivation of loving kindness, wishing for the welfare of others. Thirdly, Asubha Bhavana, recollecting the parts of the body, or one's body, as repulsive or foul. And lastly, mindfulness of death. And when we are discussing these four guardian meditations, we touched on the essential points together with the benefits of the practice. And we came to an end yesterday after 1 hour. There wasn't enough time to give the concluding remarks today. We are going to talk about this subject as a conclusion together with the benefits of the practice. And when we have covered this subject, we are going on to the main topic of this retreat, namely the discourse on the wheel, Chakka Sutta, discourse on the wheel, given in the numerical discourses of the Buddha. Just like when the news are broadcast on the radio, the summary, it is followed by the summary of the news. So also, after we have discussed the four guardian meditations during the last 2 weeks, we would like to summarize, mentioning the consequences, the benefits of the practice of these four guardian meditations. In real life, we are studying both from the theoretical and practical aspects, depending on the quality of the teacher, and then by listening to him or her respectfully and carefully, with faith and confidence in his or her qualities, respectfully, carefully, one is bound to realize the benefit of the teachings. Just like the saying, when we are devoted to the person, we will be devoted to his or her teachings. Or if one cherishes the person, one will also cherish his or her sayings. That, and also, another example is when you are treating a disease with the help of a physician. Now, you have faith in the physician because of his or her qualifications, and he or she is treating you with loving kindness and compassion, and you have faith and confidence in his or her qualification or his or her prescriptions, and then you take these medicines regularly, you are bound to be cured of the disease. It is in this nature that when you are recollecting the quality of the Buddha, either recollecting one quality or more than one qualities, You are bound to have faith and confidence in him. You will be respectful towards the Buddha and will cherish and appreciate him. Then you will also cherish and appreciate his teachings with faith and confidence in his teachings. This is very important. In this way, by having faith in the person, you will have faith in his teachings. Then you will have faith in the benefits of the teachings, of the practice of the teachings. Then you will have a strong zeal, a desire to undertake the practice. So you will strive as much as you have faith, and you are bound to realize the benefit as much as you strive. The essence of the Buddha Dhamma is described as Dhamma Vinaya, doctrine discipline. Doctrine discipline or Dhamma discipline. Dhamma means the exact teachings or guidance for the benefit of all beings. And to elaborate on this point, if one practices in accordance with his teachings, one is bound to realize the benefit. As is said, Dhamma bears, the Dhamma bearer. That means Dhamma will help or sustain or uplift the Dhamma bearer so that Dhamma bearer will not be degraded. Instead, it will go up and up. It will be up, he or she will be uplifted by and by without being lower or without being stagnant in between. Such is the quality of the Dhamma. So whoever practices with faith and confidence in the Dhamma, the Dhamma is bound to bear, sustain, have, or uplift the Dhamma bearer. Because the Buddha has given the teachings with great compassion, so that you will be able to cultivate your physical, verbal, mental behaviors to become cultured, graceful, tamed, and lovable. And while doing that, you are to abstain from, what should be abstain? Abstain from doing what should not be done. Abstain from speaking what should not be spoken. You are walking the path set by the Buddha. Just like in real life, there are rules and regulations, or do's and don'ts, as laid down by the authorities. But here, in the case of Buddha Sasana, these rules or disciplines are laid down with compassion, so as not to suffer. And in this way, as much as one undertakes the practice, one is bound to purify one's physical behavior so that they become tamed, graceful, and lovable. You will purify your verbal behaviors so that they become tamed, graceful, and lovable. Such are the benefits of the practice. So, for the Dhamma, if you practice the Dhamma, you're bound to realize the benefit of the practice. And if you sustain Vinaya, rules of conduct, you'll be free from harm or dangers. In this way, Dhamma, Vinaya, doctrine, discipline have been given. If you practice with faith and confidence, respectfully and carefully, by recollecting the quality of the Buddha, you are bound to realize the benefit of the practice. Dhamma has the quality of bearing, uplifting, sustaining, helping, and protecting. The Dhamma bearer or the Dhamma practitioner, so as not to be degraded. And such are the qualities, one should have the qualities of speaking out both from the theoretical and practical aspects, and the Dhamma that you can learn from the books. There are many kinds of Dhamma. The Dhamma, which is the Dhamma that you can learn from the books or from the teachers. But you need to find a spiritual friend. By learning the Dhamma, you will not be degraded. Instead, you will be uplifted. Buddha himself has taught the Dhamma to uplift all beings. And what kind of person should it be? It should be the one who practices the Dhamma Vinaya, which has been taught with compassionate feeling. And such are the people whom the Dhamma bears. For instance, as regards moral practice, sila, when it comes to sila, moral practice, you practice in accordance with the rules laid down in the moral virtues. And you practice concentration in accordance with the rules given in respect of the practice of concentration. And you practice wisdom, penya, in accordance with what has been given in the instructions of penya, but not as you wish, according to your individual wish. Now, the Buddha has passed away, the Buddha is no more, so you like to look for a spiritual friend known as Kalyana Mitra, who can teach the Dhamma both from the theoretical and practical aspects with compassion. And the Kalyana Mitra, spiritual friend, should possess seven qualities. The first quality is known as Piya, lovely quality, such as the quality of generosity. He or she should be generous. The quality of helping others, lovable qualities, excuse me, and so on. Such person is said to possess this quality, the lovable quality. The next quality is the kind of quality such as the practice of good conduct and the quality of teaching to cultivate one's mind and insight, and should be a respectable from all aspects, and should be respected and cherished by many, should possess kind heart. Such kind of quality is known as guru, quality of guru. Now if one possesses this, if one Kalyana Mitra, spiritual friend, possesses these two qualities, then he or she will possess the remaining qualities. Namely, bhavaniya, worthy of praise. he or she should possess qualities which are worthy of praise. Then comes the quality of vata, that is the spiritual friend, Kalyana Mita, should be able to point out your shortcomings, your mistakes, with loving kindness and compassion, but not to criticize you. He or she should be able to look at your weak points and find out these points in order to improve you, not to criticize you. And as much as one has the quality of pointing out your mistakes or shortcomings, this Kalyana Mita, he or she, should possess the quality of suffering speech. That means he or she should be able to bear or to receive criticism or to receive constructive criticism from you, and should be able to receive that. Of course, such kind of quality is known as vasandakama. Some people don't like to be criticized, although they have their weak points. And then the next quality is to be able to teach you profound dhammas, profound teachings, both from the theoretical and practical aspects. So the such qualities, he or she should be able to teach profound dhamma, such as the dhamma about satipatthana practice and so on, without expectation of gain, fame, and honor. And the last quality is not to use your services to his or her advantage. Such are the qualities, seven in all, which should be possessed by a Kalyana Mita spiritual friend. So he or she should be able to wish for your welfare, for your progress. Your progress, your welfare should be given priority. So in this way, you approach a spiritual friend, Kalyana Mita, for teachings, not to do as you wish on your own. So we need to find out such a person who can give guidance both from the theoretical and practical aspects. In this way, if you find such that person and practices in accordance with his or her teachings, then you will be the person to whom the Dhamma bears. Dhamma bears such people. Buddha has the quality of Kalyana Mita, spiritual friend. And so are his disciples in their own right. And even nowadays there are these individuals who have the qualities of Kalyana Mita in their own rights. And from them, this teachings or guidance are given in accordance with Desana expositions, such as the practice of morality, Sila-sikha, moral training, practice of concentration, Samadhi-sikha, concentration training, and the practice to cultivate knowledge, Vinyasa-sikha, wisdom training. All these things are methods of practice, especially the practice of Satipatthana Bhavana, in order to know every arising by guarding your mind with vigilant mindfulness of every arising, whatever arises, unnoted. In this way, you are said to be practicing. And first of all, you have to know the method of practice. That is the correct method of practice. By knowing, if you don't know, then you will be degraded. You will be ignorant. So first of all, you have to know the correct method of practice. Then you become the knower of that practice. In this way, you are uplifted in a way. Thus, Dhamma bears the Dhamma bearer. Dhamma bearer by way of knowing the correct method of practice. And you have to undertake the practice. That is the next step. After first knowing it. So first of all, learn the correct method. But at this stage, you are not complete as yet. You must reach the stage of real practice. Undertake the correct method of practice. With the practice of the three trainings, Sila Samadhi Panya, morality, concentration and wisdom. Beginning with the Satipatthana Bhavana, noting every arising object, thus guarding your mind with vigilant mindfulness of every arising, noting obvious objects as they arise with energetic aim, thus deepening your concentration. The mind falls calm and collected on the object noted every second of the time, giving rise to knowledge. Because you are doing that, you are said to be controlling yourself against the impurities, namely greed, hatred and delusion. All these things are impurities. Just like when you leave your children without controlling them as they are, it is more likely that they will become delinquent because there is no control over them. Now you have to control your behaviors with the practice of sila in the first place, to sustain moral virtues, abstaining what should be abstained, and with the practice of concentration, you protect yourself by preventing the impurities from arising, and if they at all arise, you just note and abandon or overcome. And with the practice of panya, wisdom, you eradicate these impurities which have been all along with us throughout our lifetimes. Thus you become a Dhamma bearer or Dhamma practitioner. So after you have studied or learned the correct method of practice, you undertake it, you become a Dhamma bearer or Dhamma practitioner. You are said to be walking the path of Dhamma as laid down by the Buddha. You are able to overcome impurities in three grades, namely gross, medium and refined. Thus, Dhamma has the quality of bearing the Dhamma practitioner so as to be free from these gross, medium and refined type of impurities. Such are the immediate benefits. So you gain what you have practiced. That is the third aspect of being a Dhamma practitioner. What are the things that you benefit from the practice? The immediate benefits are the purification of your behaviors, physical, verbal, mental, so that they become cultured tame, gentle, graceful, and lovable. In this way, you are getting it. And after you have practiced, these are the benefits that you gain, and you become a Dhamma bearer in the sense, or Dhamma practitioner. When at last, with the practice of meditation, you reach the stage of noblehood, becoming Riya Megapala, seeing the path of fruition knowledge of the noble ones, realizing Nibbana, then you become a Dhamma. This is the fourth aspect of Dhamma practitioner, as being able to apply what you have gained. In this way, the Dhamma bearer or Dhamma practitioner has four stages, namely learning the correct method, that is the first stage, undertaking or practicing the method or practice method, that is the second stage, and realizing the benefit of the practice, that is the third stage, and applying what you have gained. In this way, you are said to have become a Dhamma bearer or Dhamma practitioner in these four ways. Thus, you are the practitioner who is practicing in accordance with the instructions, and Dhamma bears such Dhamma bearer. Dhamma bears, helps, protects, saves, and sustains such Dhamma bearer, so that one will not be in the round of samsara for a long, long time. And the Dhamma is impartial. Dhamma only bears the Dhamma practitioner, not to the non-practitioner. Just listening to the Dhamma is not enough, so you've got to undertake the practice to become the Dhamma practitioner. Now the yogis are doing that in accordance with the teachings of the Buddha. It's not the teaching of Fyaro himself. Fyaro is only transmitting the Buddha's teachings, so that you become the real or full Dhamma practitioner. So if you practice systematically in accordance with the instructions, the guidance given, your life will not be degraded. Instead, it will be uplifted. And in the practice of the high-level discipline, or the way of mindfulness, you practice these four guardians, meditations, to be free from annoyance, disturbances in the course of the practice. You cultivate loving-kindness, wishing for the welfare of all beings, so that you'll be able to practice Dhamma with peace and happiness. Then your practice will become successful. In this way, if you are recollecting the parts of the body, especially the first five parts, namely head hair, body hair, nails, teeth and skin, as repulsive, unpleasant, then you will not become attached to your own body, and you will not become attached to other bodies. You will not esteem others. In this way, you will be free from raga, lust or craving, and even if it arises, you will be able to overcome it without difficulty, then you will become relieved. So that now things are not dependable, nothing is dependable, nothing is solid, everything is perishable, but you have to be able to utilize, get good things out of bad things, just like the saying, extracting gold from trash by recycling. You can get good things, consumer goods, out of this trash. So also, you try to extract good things out of the heap of rubbish of your life, with the practice of the three trainings of Sila Samadhi Pinya. And such is the benefit of practicing Asubha Bhavana, the meditation on foulness. Sierra exhorts you all to be able to practice this valuable practice of the three trainings out of your life, out of your existence, every second of the time, and then being recollecting, being mindful of death, such as one does not know when one is going to die. One should be able to undertake a valuable practice of Sila Samadhi Pinya to purify one's physical, verbal, mental behaviors so that one will become fully human being, come to possess human mentality and be a worthy human being before one dies. After one has died, then one will not be able to practice it. So we take this opportunity so that we will not miss this opportunity of practicing this valuable practice of Satipatthana Bhavana to beautify our behaviors so that they become gentle, peaceful and lovable. In this way, this recollection of death, or mindfulness of death, is very, very beneficial to arouse sense of urgency and enthusiasm, and may be able to practice well before death takes over you. That's all for today.